program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around. Those of you that are used to the intro, you know what I'm about to say. 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education. Always done without any manipulation because we're not trying to con anybody into giving any money. We're not trying to sell you something. We're not trying to ask you to join up, fess it up, and give it up. But we are going to ask you to listen up. Listen as I try to verify and identify the plan of God for your life. And if I'm able to do that, then you have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan if you'd like to do so. This is show 938. 938 Sundays we've been on the air across America. And we're still in the process of signing new radio contracts for the year 2024. So let me ask you to do me a favor. If you are listening in your city, I would love to know about it. We currently broadcast in over 100 cities without selling any type of commercials, which means we depend solely on the grace of God to provide our financial needs. So we really don't want to waste money if we're playing in cities where no one's listening. So if you are listening, please let us know, and we won't waste our money in places where no one's tuning in. Okay, that's a fair question, and please, you can always contact us at 800-831-0718, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 100 in the city of Cropwell, Alabama. Thank you for considering those questions for me, and I appreciate your response. Now, let's get into what I want to talk about today. Today's lesson, I want to use a military analogy that I trust will motivate you to follow the colors to the high ground of spiritual maturity. Follow the colors to the high ground of spiritual maturity. What do I mean by follow the colors? Well, during the war between the states, which was 1861 to roughly 1865, many soldiers, both Confederate and Union soldiers, were wounded and killed carrying the company color, the company flag, into battle. Those who carried the color into battle put themselves in incredible danger because the company colors allowed soldiers to see where their unit was located on the battlefield. And in the confusion of combat and the haze of the battle, it was essential that the company or the regiment know where their lines were located, so they did not fall behind or even advance too far without protection and support. Many of these color bearers did not even carry weapons, which left them unable to defend themselves. And if the color bearer was shot or mortally wounded, another member of the unit would normally pick up the colors in order to avoid the disgrace of losing their colors. The colors served as a symbol of the ideals and values the men were fighting to uphold, such as family, duty, and honor. And that flag, those colors, served to rally the men and increase their morale. When they saw it, it would encourage them to fight on when they otherwise might not have done so. Those men that carried the colors were made up of an elite unit called a Color Guard Unit, led by a color sergeant, and it consisted of up to a dozen soldiers. And great courage was necessary to carry that flag into combat battle, because everybody knew that the enemy would be aiming for him, the guy carrying the colors, so they could kill him and cause confusion and chaos in the ranks. As the flag was typically the front of the unit, it was the color bearer that was very exposed, and the man who carried those colors drew lead like a magnet. There was a man named John Strikeleather of the 4th North Carolina Regiment. He said this about the nature of the men chosen to bear the colors. And I quote what he said. He said, "I doubt if there was ever a nobler hero in the war, North or South." At the Battle of Seven Pines, Strikeleather volunteered to carry the colors. This is the same battle in which all 25 officers of his regiment were lost, and South Carolina's Palmetto sharpshooters lost 10 of 11 members of the color guard. At one point, the flag passed through four hands without ever touching the ground as each one of the color bearers was shot. Private Berry of the 4th Texas Regiment was captured at Antietam, and he said something like this as he described it. And this is a different battle, of course, in Antietam, but he said, "I saw coming up the road from the battlefield some colors. Our captured major that I was with asked the Yankee who had the colors where he got them. He said, I got them in a cornfield, and I knew those colors. And I told him they belonged to the 1st Texas Regiment. And he said there were 13 dead men laying on the ground around it when he found it. I asked him to hand it to me for a moment, which he did. I took it in my hands. I kissed it, handed it back to him with tears blinding my eyes. End quote. I tell you this information to encourage you to pick up the colors of Christ and lead the way for your friends and your family. I'm not asking you to make some non-binding emotional decision about your commitment to the cause of Christ. That's not what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to obey the Bible, where the Bible says these words. You ready? Romans 12:11. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. As a personal representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are in fact a believer, this is a challenge you should be aware of. When the Apostle Paul wrote, never lacking in zeal, the Greek New Testament uses a word called akneros, O-K-N-E-R-O-S, akneros, for lacking. And it means not being sluggish or not being reluctant. And then if we come to the word zeal, it's the word spoude, S-P-O-U-D-E. And that's a diligence to accomplish something. Don't be lacking in diligence to accomplish something. Your spiritual responsibilities are to carry the colors for our Lord Jesus Christ, so that there will rally around you others who see that and be inspired by what you hold so dear in your life. The colors for the believer, you and I, consist of the sacred scriptures. And if we learn and apply the scriptures into our lives, we are essentially following the colors to the high ground of spiritual maturity. Now, I remind you that it is the job of a well-qualified pastor to lift the colors high and by teaching the Word of God and encourage you to follow them. So then he went on to say, never lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Keeping your spiritual fervor. The Greek word zeo means to boil with heat or to be on fire. Keeping your spiritual fervor, your pneuma, your spirit, P-N-E-U-M-A, spiritual, as keeping your determination to finish what God started and not sit the war out on the sideline as a battlefield casualty. I pray that's not you. I pray you're not the believer who stepped aside, got out of the conflict, sat down and felt sorry for yourself and you're not willing to stand up front and carry the colors. This type of sluggish attitude is indicative of believers who fail to advance in the plan of God. Many believers, maybe even you, fall back when the battle gets too intense. I mean, come on, did you really think Satan would ignore you? In fact, if you actually determined to start representing Christ to your generation, do you think he would ignore you? I have a friend that made a life-changing decision to do that, to make sure that he took in the Word of God daily, to not let his business affairs interfere with church, and so that he could be there and learn as the Word of God was taught by his pastor. And when he made that decision, all heck broke loose in his life, and everything that could have possibly happened to him, trying to discourage him. So you can't let that happen to you. Satan will not ignore you if you, in fact, determine to pick up those colors and follow the colors to the high ground. Our Lord addressed the type of believer, this sluggish attitude, this believer that was not willing to follow the colors, when he said these words in Revelation 3:14-16. He said, I am aware of your spiritual life. You are not cold. You are not hot, but instead you are just lukewarm. And I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. What does that mean? Well, he was speaking there to the church, and he said this, you're not hot, you're not cold, you're not on fire, you're not cold, but you're just lukewarm, and I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Meaning what? Meaning your spiritual life is distasteful or soured or sickening. For months you've listened to me encourage you to grow. Grow spiritually under a well-qualified pastor, and there's hardly a week that goes by that someone doesn't write to me and say, where can I find him? Where can I find a well-qualified pastor in my city? And sometimes you can't. Sometimes you have to do what I do, and that's use the internet and use streaming video or order DVDs or MP3s. But there are men that are teaching the Word of God line by line, word by word, and they are available to you, and they don't charge. They're not Hollywood performers. They're just solid, sound, systematic Bible teachers. And you can sit at home if you can't find a place locally where you can go and learn the Word of God, sitting there at your kitchen table or your desk with your Bible open, your notebook in your hand, and studying under a pastor teacher. Yes, you can do that. But some have made no attempt to start doing that very thing. They're saved. They're wonderful, patriotic Americans. No one doubts that. But their spiritual life is lagging. So how could God possibly depend on you to pick up the colors and lead the way if you're still sitting on the sidelines? Each of us, that's Christians, we're in a war. The Bible tells us that. Paul laid it out in Ephesians 6, 11 through 18, where he said these words. It's lengthy, but let me read it to you. He said, "Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the enemy's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of the dark world and against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Because of this, put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand when the evil day comes. And after you have done everything, you'll keep standing. So stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people." So you see in this lengthy passage I read to you in Ephesians 6, 11 through 18, you see in these verses that Paul penned the battle that we all face as believers. And that's the battle that we have to go through. That's why you have to carry the colors. The problem-solving devices are presented in the belt of truth. Notice this. Notice that we talk about capacity righteousness. We talk about the faith rest drill. We talk about the shield of faith. All these things in this problem-solving devices that we read from. Those 10 unique problem-solving devices that we taught you on the radio show, they are listed in this passage, with standing firm, the belt of truth, that's the problem-solving devices. That's knowing the Word of God. The breastplate of righteousness is you manufacturing those things that glorify God in your life. And the faith rest drill is the shield that protects you when things go wrong and when things happen bad, so that you don't get discouraged. You stand behind the promises of God and claim them. You know, in Ezekiel 22:30, God said these words, "I am looking for someone among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not have to destroy it. But I could find no one." This passage in Ezekiel 22 addresses the problem that Israel faced. They were failing their spiritual heritage. They were committing apostasy. And what is that? Ezekiel 22:8. Listen carefully. Here it is, quote, "You have despised my holy things and profaned my Sabbaths." The nation was also involved in idolatry and immorality. Listen to 22:11. "One has committed abomination with his neighbor's wife, and another has lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law, and another his sister's father's daughter." That's idolatry and immorality. "They had turned their backs on God," verse 12, 22:12, Ezekiel, "You have forgotten me," declares the Lord. Does this accusation sound familiar to you? Does it happen to sound like the very things we've done right here in good old USA? I mean, we beg God to deliver us from the wars. We beg God to protect us. And then we get preoccupied with the gifts and forget who the giver is. And slowly but surely we sink into apostasy and morality and criminality. So the question to be asked this morning is, how can you pick up those colors and lift them up for everybody to see? How can you do that? Our Lord Jesus Christ himself said these words. Listen carefully. In John 3, 14 and 15, he said to Nicodemus, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Our Lord spoke those words to Nicodemus, the Pharisee, who came seeking information under the cover of darkness, because he was afraid he could be criticized for seeking out Jesus. And these words, of course, refer to his death on the cross and proof that our Lord knew his destiny was to die a substitutionary death on that cross in order to redeem man from the law of sin and death. And the challenge to you, the challenge to me, is this. Will we seize the colors and lift up Christ in spite of the dangers that it may bring into our life? Are we willing to do that? That's the question that we have to be asked. So exactly how do you go about lifting up the colors? How do you do that? Does this imply that you should go out on street corners and start preaching about who he is? I believe you and I are called to represent the Lord Jesus Christ by replicating his thinking first and foremost. Where in Philippians 2:5, the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." His mindset was total humility, and his actions were total obedience to the Father's will. No doubt about it. So, in fact, you and I are called to learn from him. In Matthew 11:29, "Take my yoke and learn of me," Jesus said. "My yoke is easy." He said it's easy. It's not hard. It just requires some humility. You have to learn to replicate his thinking. And so, if you're going to learn from him, it's in the scriptures, it's recorded, it's in the Bible. As you study the Bible, as you read the Bible, as your pastor breaks open the Word of God, he's lifting up the colors for you to focus on. And then as you leave church, you lift up Christ, picking up the colors in your life. Here's something you must remember. The Christian color bearer, lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ, must be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you can't do this in the energy of the flesh. And you do that by using Rebound when necessary. You remember Rebound, problem-solving device number one on the flat line of your soul. Rebound is quoting 1 John 1:9, where it says, "If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin, to purify us from all wrongdoing." This is how you are filled with the Spirit. When you're born, you are indwelled by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, but when you sin, you quench the Holy Spirit and grieve the Holy Spirit. That comes after you're born again. You are indwelt and filled, and then you sin. You did not lose the indwelling, but you lost the filling. It's possible right now you are not filled with the Holy Spirit because you have sin in your life you haven't confessed. If we confess, if is a third-class condition, means maybe you will, maybe you won't. If we confess our sins, he is, always is, never a doubt. He is faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all wrongdoing. I think it's time you to get this straight. You should deal with your mental attitude sins. You should deal with the sins of your flesh. You should deal with the sins of your words and your mouth and your tongue. You should deal with these sins because you are not ever going to glorify Jesus Christ walking around carnal under control of your sin nature. If you want to be a color bearer for our Lord Jesus Christ, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18 tells you that. Be filled with the Spirit. It's not a request, it's a mandate. The color bearer must also understand that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. How are you going to tell somebody how to be saved if you don't understand it? It's not by giving up bubble gum. It's not by quitting drinking Coca-Colas. It's not by no longer saying dirty words. It's by faith alone in Christ alone. Listen to what Paul said in Romans 1:16. This is the most powerful thing I know in the world. He said in Romans 1:16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone who believes it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The gospel is the most powerful thing in the world. It can change a person's life. It can change their destiny for sure, from hell to heaven. It can make them a new creature, born again. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things become new. If you're going to lift up the colors, you have to know these things and be able to tell these people, fall in line, follow me. And if you're going to lift up the colors, you must be willing to follow orders. You've got to follow orders. In 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that we keep his mandates and they are not hard. This demonstrates your love for God, that you keep his mandates and his mandates are not hard. That's a wonderful passage to remember. That's called virtue love. It's your motivational virtue in your life to be obedient, is your personal love for God. But how can you love a God you don't really know, you don't really understand? And that's why in Jeremiah, God said, you've heard me say this to you, that he's looking for people that not only know him, but understand him. Are you willing to follow orders? Are you willing to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth? Because that's a mandate from God. And if you're going to follow the colors, if you're going to raise the colors, if you're going to stand out front and pick up the colors high, you must understand what it's going to cost you. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, told his disciples these words, John 16:2-3. They will put you out of the synagogue. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think they are doing God a favor. And these things they will do to you because they did not know the Father, nor did they know me. And the disciples did face this very thing, martyrdom. All of them martyred with the exception of John, isolated on the Isle of Patmos, spent out his life there. So there's a cost. If you're going to stand up front and lift up the colors, you're going to draw lead, as the soldier said in the war. They're going to shoot at you, and Satan's going to fire at you, fiery missiles. Will you be able to stand? Do you understand enough scripture to use the shield of faith to deflect those missiles? The 160th Special Operation Aviation Regiment, called SOAR, S-O-A-R, Special Operation Aviation Regiment, is located at Fort Campbell, Kentucky. They're called the Night Stalkers, and they have a motto. The motto are the words of Isaiah the prophet. Here are those words, Isaiah 6:8-9. Also I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And then I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, and keep on hearing, but do not understand. They keep on seeing, but they don't perceive. God uses risk takers. To raise the colors, you're going to have to take a risk. To stand out front, you're going to have to take a risk. And just like the Special Operation Aviation Regiment, here am I, send me. Are you willing to tell God that? Here am I, use me. Because God uses prepared people. He has to use prepared people. And that's important for you to understand that. He uses prepared people. And so, are you prepared? Are you prepared? If you're willing to prepare, he'll call on you. I mean, isn't it about time you decided to start an intense course of God's Word so you can meet those qualifications? In 2 Timothy 2:15, the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In closing, I remind you, the color bearer must be willing to stand the ground. He must not be afraid to risk it all, and he may have a life marked by sorrow, but it will be defined by joy. Listen to what happened to the Lord, Hebrews 12:2, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and suffered the shame. The person who carries those colors must not put a premium on security. Is there anything in your life that's worth risking it all for? Those disciples risk everything to tell the world the good news. What about you? The one who lifts up Christ in the angelic conflict is going to have a lifestyle defined by trust. This is a wonderful principle for you. If you can trust the Father with your life, can you trust him with the small things in your life? I mean, some of you get up every morning and say, this is the day the Lord has made, and I rejoice and have a superabundance of happiness in it because of his unfailing love and mercy every day. So you get up and you know every day that you take a breath, God gave you that day. You know that. As I heard one friend say tonight, I'm still vertical, not horizontal. You know God gave you this day, so the question is, can you trust him with your life, and why can you not trust him in the small details of your life Why do you insist on handling those details? At some time in your life, you know, when you don't know when, but you're going to be called on to step up and be counted. Sooner or later, God's going to call your number and say, front and center. When's that going to happen for you? When are you going to step up and carry the colors? I want to leave you with a small poem written by Nathalia Crane in 1926. And this poem is quoted in the book Follow the Colors, written by R.V. Thieme Jr., pastor of Baraka Church in Houston, Texas. Here's the poem. You don't choose the battlefield. God does that for you. But you can plant the colors where the colors never flew. That's my challenge to you. Are you willing to carry the colors of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to step out front of your family, your friends, and lift him up? Are you willing to follow the colors that your pastor preaches on and he teaches the Word of God? That's his job as well, to lift up the Scriptures for you so you can follow the colors to the high ground in your spiritual life. Make no mistake about it. There's not one prayer that's going to change everything. It's you being solid and sound in spiritual growth. God said, I'm looking for someone among them that build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on the behalf of the land so I'd not have to destroy it, Ezekiel 22:30. But I couldn't find anybody. Can he count on you? Can our Lord count on you to carry the colors? Can he? I pray that's true. Thank you for listening. I pray you'll come back next week, same time, same place. Until then, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries. The following program is paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, I'm asking you to stick around, please. It'll be a short time, 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, a whole lot of education, and of course, we use no manipulation. If you're first time listening, we don't try to con people. We're not asking to sell you anything. We're not going to solicit funds. We're not going to ask you to give it up, fess it up, nothing like that. But we are going to ask you to listen up. Listen as I try to verify and identify the plan of God for your life. And if I can do that, you're free to orient and adjust to the plan. That's up to you. But the Flotline, F-L-O-T, we've been on the air for many years now, broadcasting in over 100 stations across America every Sunday morning. Flot stands for the Forward Line of Troops. What we're trying to do is introduce you to a unique way of growing as a Christian, studying the Word of God, and building a unique forward line of troops in your life. That's an analogy for some 10 problem-solving devices taught in the Bible that if you learn them and use them, they will act like a forward line of troops. In other words, it's like a military resistance. They'll stop the outside sources of pressure from becoming the inside source of stress. That's why we always say adversity, of course, is inevitable. But stress is optional. We'll talk about some adversity today and how you overcome circumstances in your life. But before we dig into that, let me remind you it's time for us to renew our radio station contracts for the next year. If we haven't heard from listeners in several of our markets, we will drop those markets because we don't know if you're out there listening. So all I'm asking is if you're listening, let us know. You can always contact us through the website at rickhughesministries.org, rickhughesministries.org, Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 100 in the city of Cropwell, Alabama. That's P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054 is the area code. 35054, P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama. You can even call us at 800-831-0718. 800-831-0718. All we're asking is if you're listening, let us know so we can set our agenda for the coming year and eliminate stations where we're not getting much of a reception. That's a fair thing to ask, please. So let us know what's going on. Now today, I want you to understand these things that we're going to talk about, overcoming adversity and circumstances in your life that are crazy and weird and wild and things that will set you back normally. I talk with a lot of individuals across this great nation every day. Many call, many write, many I run into personally. And I have learned that many people have terrible circumstances in their lives. I've heard some amazing stories and people going through suffering and amazing things. Some have adverse circumstances that's related to their health problems. And others have adverse circumstances related to their financial problems. And some are in social situations that are unhealthy. Some are even in under unfair circumstances at work. Now, I've always believed that about 90% of the suffering is self-induced because we mismanage our money, we mismanage our health, or we mismanage our relationships. But there are a lot of adverse circumstances that you don't cause that come on you like a rainstorm on a cloudy afternoon. Circumstances related to adversity are tough. But circumstances related to prosperity are just as tough. So you can have adversity or prosperity. These are both different circumstances. But you have to be able to pass the test in both arenas of contention. So a mature believer is not moved by circumstances, good or bad, because his focus will stay the same. His faith will not be shaken. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote in the Bible in Philippians. This is Paul's testimony about the circumstances he was under, and see how it compares with you and your testimony. In Philippians 4:11-13, he said these words, "Not that I speak in regards to need, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content." There's your key word, content. I've learned to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to be abound. That's without and with, you know. Some are good, some are bad. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. So Paul's attitude is contentment. I have learned, whatsoever state I'm in, to be content. The key word in this passage, egomontano, is the Greek New Testament word, egomontano. Ego is I. We get the word ego from that. And then montano means to learn. The Christian life, let me get some principles here for you. Number one, the Christian life requires you to learn how God's plan operates. It's required. You can't go through life making up your own rules. You know, if a guy plays football or basketball, he's got to play by the rules. If he runs track, he's got to play by the rules. Any competitive sport has rules. And you can't make the rules up as you go along, and that's true with God. You have to play by His rules. That's why we are instructed in 2 Timothy 2:15 to study, S-T-U-D-Y, study. And we're also instructed by our Lord in Matthew 11:28 to learn, study, and learn. These are two words you must pay attention to. Both study and learn are imperative mood verbs. It's not he's not asking you, he's telling you. This is a command. Study to show yourself approved unto God, 2 Timothy 2:15. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you can rightly divide it, you can wrongly divide it. If you wrongly divide it, you're going to be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ when you see all the wood, hay, and stubble you acquired. It's not gold, silver, nor precious stones. So you must study to show yourself approved at the judgment seat of Christ, as the Lord Jesus Christ evaluates your production. And then to learn of Him. What are we supposed to learn? Well, We're to take on His identity. We're to have the mind of Christ, as Philippians 2:5 says. We're to have divine viewpoint. So both study and learn are imperative mood verbs, and they are not a request, but a mandate from God. So point three, the one thing you must do once you receive Christ as your Savior, you have to understand what happened and what is expected. In other words, salvation is not just a free ticket to heaven, but once you believe in Christ and once you accept Him as your Savior, you enter into a war with the enemy, a.k.a. the devil. Yes, once you get saved, you can't earn your salvation. It is a free gift from God, but once you get saved, you have to understand what's expected next. Nobody told me anything about that when I accepted Christ as my Savior in August of 1967. Nobody warned me that I was walking into a spiritual conflict. I didn't even understand that I had a spiritual life. I didn't know what that was. All I knew was that I hadn't been saved, that I had accepted Christ as my Savior. And there was a certain amount of emotional relief with that. I was very happy about that, had a great peace about that, but I knew nothing in regards to the Christian life. And I was subjected to a lot of different viewpoints over the next year and a half after I accepted Christ, people trying to manipulate me, trying to make me into something that I was not. You know, like, if you're really a Christian, brother, you won't drink Coca-Cola anymore. That's a sin. If you're really a Christian, brother, you won't eat peanut brittle anymore. That's a sin. You know, people love to manipulate you and tell you what they think sins are. And a lot of times they're not even in the Bible as sins, but things they make up to manipulate you, to control you. So learning the Word of God, or learning what I call Bible doctrine, is how you grow your faith and you develop a relaxed mental attitude. You have to learn Bible doctrine to grow your faith. Faith comes through hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the Bible says. If you're not listening to the teaching of the Word of God from a qualified pastor, you're not growing. And if you grow, you will develop a relaxed mental attitude. What is that? Well, it's identified by the word contentment, or the word patience. That's what Paul had. He said, I've learned how to be content. I have a relaxed mental attitude. It doesn't make any difference, he said, whether I have a lot or whether I have a little, whether I'm under suffering or not under suffering. I've learned how to handle these things. How did he handle it? I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. So you have spiritual strength. Listen, he learned how to be content. The Greek adjective, descriptive adjective, atarkos is the word content. I've learned how to atarkos. So ego manthano atarkos. I learned content. And that means self-sufficient. I've learned how to be self-sufficient. I don't need any assistance. That's what contentment means. So we know this as spiritual autonomy in our lives, meaning that we have advanced beyond spiritual self-esteem. You know, we've advanced beyond being baby Christians. Now we are at spiritual autonomy. We are students. We're student believers. We're growing. And eventually we want to reach spiritual maturity in our lives. So we now have spiritual strength manifested with contentment, is manifested by self-control, self-restraint, and poise. What's poise? That's the ability to think under pressure. Many people that are not content cannot think under pressure. So when pressure comes into their life, they panic. They run up into panic palace and scream, "Oh God, help, I'm panicking." Remember, like the disciples in the boat in Matthew 8, "Save us, Lord, we're drowning." And he woke up and said, "You're not drowning, you're short-time trusters." And he stood up and he stopped the raging sea. So when you have spiritual strength manifested by self-control, self-restraint, poise, you will no longer need a shoulder to lean on. That's a good principle, point four. You no longer will need a shoulder to lean on, like a counselor or approval from some human sources, like a buddy that, you know, they try to get you today to get a fess-it-up buddy, get you a buddy you can talk to and tell him your weaknesses. Do not do that. If you've got a problem and a sin, go to God and confess it to God. You don't need to confess it to a buddy that's going to hold you accountable. So you don't need shoulders to lean on when you have spiritual autonomy, when you have learned contentment. Because, point five, at this stage of spiritual maturity, you are now fully dependent on your own doctrine in your soul, the Word of God in your soul, and you have learned by now how to make correct application without doubting God or without being confused and not having to run to somebody and say, "What should I do, preacher? What should I do, preacher?" If you haven't grown up enough to know what to do, you haven't reached spiritual contentment yet. So Paul didn't need to be asking everybody, "What should I do? I've got this going on, I got that going on. Tell me, what should I do?" If you don't know what to do, you're in trouble. That's why you have to study and learn, because if you can do it on your own and handle it, you can glorify God to the max. When those disciples set out on their mission after the Lord Jesus Christ resurrected and ascended, they were alone. They had a mission to accomplish. And they fulfilled that mission, and you have a mission to accomplish also. And you don't need someone to hold your hand and tell you it's going to be okay. You have to have contentment. So Paul states that regardless of his circumstances, he has contentment because he depends on the Lord Jesus Christ, who gives him the strength. What does he mean by that? He simply means that he's acquired the thinking of Christ, as Philippians 2:5 says. First of all, he has humility. He doesn't try to vindicate himself. He has enough humility to handle it. And he has enough confidence in the plan of God to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's called faith, rest, and drill. So he indicated in Philippians 4, verse 6, that he was not anxious about anything, and that he had total peace from God regarding all the circumstances he was facing. And in verse 7, he wrote these words, "The peace of God protected his heart and his mind, as it will do yours." Do you have peace in adverse circumstances? Have you learned to be content in your circumstances in your life? Are you anxious about something? Do you have total peace from God regarding your circumstances? If not, then there's some more growing you've got to do. If you want to, you don't have to. You can remain a baby Christian. You can remain a Christian on the bottle, as the writer of Hebrews said, chapter 5, Hebrews 5:11. You've been saved a long time now, and you ought to be teaching other people. But instead, you've gone back to where you need a bottle. You need somebody to teach you the very first basics. And we run into this a lot. People that have been saved 15 or 20 years don't even know the basics of how to be a mature believer. They don't even understand what their spiritual life is. They don't understand how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They don't understand how to use a faith rest drill. They don't understand what rebound is. All these 10 problem-solving devices that we teach, and if you don't know them, you need to get in touch with me. Let me send you my book, Christian Problem Solving, the new book we've just put out, and it deals with each one of these 10 problem-solving devices. And again, it's free. We don't charge for anything. So notice again what Paul wrote to Timothy. Now listen to this statement. 1 Timothy 6, 6 and 7. "Now godliness," that's the spiritual life, "with contentment," that's the relaxed mental attitude, "is great gain." And then he says in verse 7 of 1 Timothy chapter 6, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it's very certain we can carry nothing out of this world." How about that? Godliness, spiritual life, with contentment is great gain. Again, even the writer of Hebrews, whoever wrote it, we're not sure, but he lays out the divine prescription for our lives. Here's what he said, Hebrews 13:5. "Let your conduct be without any covetousness, and be content, with such things as you have, for he himself has said, 'I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you.'" That verse simply means don't covet things you don't need. And be content with what God gives you, because happiness is not found in people, happiness is not found in circumstances, and people who covet things are in a frantic search for happiness. If you have a neighbor that has a new pool and you don't, you covet that pool, or you covet their job, or you covet their car, if you wish you had something and you didn't have it, and you're jealous of someone else that has it, and you think, "If I had that, I'd be really happy," you are wrong. That's not true. If that's all that Satan's got to do to convince you to leave the plan of God and go haywire, He'll give you anything you want just to make you go haywire. Listen, you have to learn what the plan of God says. He has a plan for your life. And he doesn't want you to covet what other people have. He wants you to be content with what you have. Because that's the secret to the Christian life, contentment. Contentment is capacity for life. If you're content, God can bless you beyond your capacity to even handle it, because it won't knock you crazy. If you're content, you won't go sideways when God pours out blessing into your life. But if you're not content, you'll never be happy. You'll always go crooked in life. You'll always get off down on the my way highway, because you're always looking for something better than what you got last time. Contentment is a wonderful thing, and when you have it, it's the capacity to live life without being distracted. It's the ability to handle whatever you need to handle and be perfectly happy with what you have. And if God sees you have that, if he sees you have that kind of attitude, well, then he can pour things into your life, because he knows they won't destroy you. So people that covet are in a frantic search for happiness. Don't covet less something that you don't need, and be content with what God gives you. A lifestyle like that, that's not easy to come by. It only comes when you renovate your thinking, when you change the way you think. And the Bible tells you, as a Christian, you have to do that. In Romans 12:1-3, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And listen to verse 2 of Romans 12. Do not be conformed to this world. Don't chase after what the world chases. But be transformed, change in your attitude, by the renewing of your mind. That's your attitude I'm talking about. Changing the way you think. So that, or in order that, purpose clause here, you may then be able to prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. That's what Romans telling you. Stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance beyond what you should think, but think in terms of humility, as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from his word. So I've told you before, the spiritual life is founded in your thoughts, and it's reflected in your actions. And so when he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, he's talking about changing the way you think. Not thinking like the world thinks. In other words, for you to have contentment and patience, which brings capacity. Okay? So, for this matter, he instructs us in Philippians 4:8, about what we should think. Listen again, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you can prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What should I think, according to the Bible? Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything worthy of praise, these are the things you should meditate on. There you go. That's what you should think. I guess I need to break that verse down word by word. I don't have time here today. I need to. But the principle is this. What you think is better than what you experience. What you think is better than what you experience. You hear me? It requires patience for you to trust God. And this patience is called long-suffering. And actually, it's part of the filling of the Holy Spirit, and Galatians talks about it. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. It's what we know as faith rest. Do you remember Moses demanding the people that he brought out of Egypt to stand still and don't panic? Watch what God would do for them. You remember the Pharaoh was after him. Moses led him out of Egypt, and Pharaoh changed his mind. He came to kill him. They were backed up against the Red Sea, and they thought they were going to die, and they were panicking, and Moses gave the mandate, stand still. Don't panic. Watch what God's about to do. Are the circumstances in your life so great you don't have any patience? Are the circumstances in your life so great you have no contentment? Is your mind wagging like a dog's tail because you can't concentrate on the scriptures? You don't trust God? You don't have enough doctrine to believe God? Two of our greatest enemies that you and I face are lack of contentment and lack of patience. No one, not you, not me, no one ever grows to be a spiritually mature believer overnight. But the alternative, well, that's not even nice. The alternative is failing to advance due to being distracted by the cosmic system and due to your own negative volition. You don't want it. You're not hungry for the things of God. You don't want to grow up. You don't want to be a spiritually mature person. You got more things to do. You got a family. You got kids. You got a job. You got a hobby. You're busy, 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 busy. I can take church maybe every now and then, but, I mean, come on, you're going overboard here. That's what a lot of people say to me. If you're chasing the distractions of the cosmic system, you always wind up in self-absorption and arrogance, and you will wind up being full of regret at the judgment seat of Christ when you realize what you blew. The opportunity you had to glorify God to the maximum, you blew it. You didn't take in the Word of God. You didn't grow spiritually. You didn't fulfill the mandates of Scripture. You didn't operate under your spiritual gift. You blew it. It's never too late to change. I don't care if you're 70 or 80. It's never too late to change your mind. It's never too late to go to the Father and just admit, I have been so totally self-absorbed. I have been neglecting your plan for my life. Please show me what to do. And then maybe he's like, you listen to this radio show. Remember this, that adversity is, of course, inevitable. But stress, well, that's always optional. Because any believer who neglects his spiritual life would never have any contentment, since they will always be looking to the details of life to provide what he can never have. If you neglect your spiritual life, I mean, you don't learn those problem-solving devices. You don't learn how to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't learn how to use the faith rest drill. You don't learn what virtue love mandates are in the Bible. Listen. Listen to Proverbs 3:13. Happiness to the person who finds wisdom, even to the person who gains understanding. Wisdom and understanding are two of the fantastic four taught in Proverbs. Wisdom and understanding. Wisdom is the Word of God that gives you insight and discernment. And those two things, put it together, when you have a situation in your life, if you have insight and discernment, you can understand what you should do. All the teaching of the Word of God in the New Testament is directed towards giving you the capacity for you to have true happiness in your life. And sharing the happiness of God is the basis for the perfect environment in your soul. God's perfect happiness includes these things. As we wind the show down, listen carefully. God's perfect happiness includes tranquility of soul in every circumstance of life. Romans 8:28. Contentment of soul gives you capacity for life, capacity for love, and capacity for happiness. No one can be happy living beyond their capacity. Spiritual environment of the soul provides this sort of capacity for divine blessing in your life. And if you learn those 10 problem-solving devices and use them consistently, then you can guard your soul and glorify God to the maximum. The stimulus factor in giving your life meaning and purpose and definition is this: God's happiness, because it will establish the right goals for you related to the invisible worship of God and your invisible heroship. You'll have maximum capacity for life, maximum poise, maximum happiness, maximum tranquility when you build a flat line in your soul. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's incredible. It's an amazing thing. I don't even have time to get to all my notes here, but I wish I could. But I hope you're picking this up. That contentment refers to you being perfectly happy, whatever situation you're in, having the capacity to enjoy your life. Being content with food and shelter means that you're content with the basic things God's given you. And when you're content with that, God can pour out more blessings in your life, I promise you. Did it make sense? I hope so. Hope you stay in touch. Let me know if you're learning something. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flat Line, brought to you every Sunday morning, same time, same place. So until next week, thank you for listening to The Flat Line.
Thank you for listening to The Flat Line with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org. The preceding program was paid for by Rick Hughes Evangelistic Ministries.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.